From the Embers by Richard Wagamese. I've been considering the phrase, all my relations, for some time now. It's hugely important. It's our way of saying grace in the end. It points to the truth that we are all related, that we are all connected, and that we all belong to each other. The most important word is all. Not just those who look like me, sing like me, dance like me, speak like me, pray like me, or behave like me. All my relations. That means every person, just as it means every rock, mineral, blade of grass, and creature. We live because everything else does. If we were to choose collectively to live that teaching, the energy of our change of consciousness would heal each of us and heal the planet.
Thank you for that reading, Eleanor. On the eve of Canada Day, introducing the sermon with a meditation by the late Richard Wagamese, Canadian Indigenous poet, is appropriate. That writing takes an Indigenous perspective, explaining the use of the phrase, all my relations, as is often spoken as a kind of a benediction or a blessing. The meditation and the picture on the cover of the Order of Service have in common the quality of being without borders or without boundaries. Just as we're all connected to all of our relations, so are the countries of the world connected to each other. We are one planet. As we prepare to celebrate Canada Day, perhaps we'll get some perspective reflecting on the words of Albert Einstein, who wrote, "I'm against any nationalism, even in the guise of mere patriotism. Privileges based on position and property have always seemed to me unjust and pernicious." He also wrote, "Nationalism is an infantile disease. It's the measles of mankind." Well, it's indisputable that, like it or not, being a citizen of Canada confers great privilege based on our position in the world and the wealth of our country. Granted, that privilege is not evenly distributed across our population. I prepared today's sermon in the context of Canada Day and our theme for June, which is blessings. We're used to seeing Canada among the top 10% of countries in the world in various indexes of well-being. I looked up a few last night. We're 10th of 188 in the UN Human Development Index. We're 7th of 156 on the UN World Happiness Report. We're 7 out of 167 on the Economist Magazine Democracy Index. And Scott Wood isn't here this morning, but it's always Norway that beats us out. I don't know. We're always behind Scandinavian countries, but really we're certainly among the most blessed of all countries. Again, with the provision that those blessings are not always equally distributed. As I thought about this, the connection between blessing and responsibility took over my mind. The words I'm going to repeat have been twisted into many different variations, but the source is from the King James Version of the Bible, Luke chapter 12, verse 48. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required." As I mentioned earlier, in acknowledging that we're on unceded Mi'kmaq territory, I had a profound sense of injustice when I looked at the satellite image of Canada and read the words, "For unto whom much has been given." I see I'm profoundly grateful for living in Canada, but this land was not given to me or to my ancestors. Much of Western literature is based on the Bible, literature and culture, but many of the popular references are taken completely out of context. The biblical context for this quote from Luke is interesting. The much that is given is about being given the knowledge of your obligations, not about being given material possessions. The quote is from a parable taught by Jesus in which two slaves failed to do their master's wishes. The one who is well aware of his obligations receives a severe beating. The one who didn't understand his obligations receives only a light beating. There's so much there to unpack. I get together with a group of ministers and a rabbi every Wednesday, and we go through the lectionary and we unpack this stuff. And it's actually a lot of fun. Bible study can be a lot of fun. But unless you know the context, when you read that, for whomsoever much has been given, we think of material things. And then we have an obligation, because we have wealth, we have an obligation to share it. But the meaning is much deeper than that. The passage is saying that if you've been given the knowledge of what is required of you, then you're required to live up to those expectations. There are no excuses. So, on this eve of Canada Day, what is required of Canadian citizens? In a search for a list of obligations that we have as Canadian citizens, I was drawn to various websites, from mostly Canadian government websites for new Canadian immigrants. Sites to help immigrants prepare for the citizenship exam. And I came across an interesting fact that I knew at one time, but long ago had forgotten. See, until January the 1st, 1947, there was no legal status as Canadian citizens. For the first 80 years following Confederation, Canadians were still British subjects. And the Canadian Citizenship Act of 1947 created the legal entity of Canadian citizenship for the first time. The document Discover Canada, the rights and responsibilities of citizenship, spells out exactly six obligations of Canadian citizens. And I quote from that. The first is obeying the law. One of Canada's founding principles is the rule of law. Individuals and governments are regulated by laws and not by arbitrary actions. No person or group is above the law. But surely there are times when we're called to disobey the law. In civil protest, laws need to be changed from time to time. Laws need to be re-examined. Second is taking responsibility for oneself and one's family. I can sense the bureaucrat writing this for the document to new immigrants, trying to lecture new immigrants. Getting a job, taking care of one's family, and working hard is in keeping with one's abilities are important Canadian values. Work contributes to personal dignity and self-respect and Canada's prosperity. I don't think there are many immigrants that need to be lectured on working hard. The third is serving on a jury. When called to do so, you are legally required to serve. Serving on a jury is a privilege that makes the justice system work, and it depends on impartial juries made up of citizens. Fourth is voting in elections. Obligation and a right. The responsibility to vote in federal, provincial, territorial, and local elections. The fifth, I thought, was interesting. An obligation of Canadian citizens spelled out in this document. Helping others in the community. Millions of volunteers freely donate their time to help others without pay. Helping people in need. Assisting at your child's school. Volunteering at a food bank or other charity. Or encouraging newcomers to integrate is an obligation on Canadian citizens. And then lastly, from this document, protecting and enjoying our heritage and environment. Every citizen has a role to play in avoiding waste and pollution while protecting Canada's natural, cultural, and architectural heritage for future generations. Unusual choice of words, I think. To this list, the Canadian Encyclopedia adds a few more that it cites from other Canadian government documents. Respect for others. Respecting the rights and the freedoms of others respecting the two official languages and multiculturalism, and respect for private and public property. And then, of course, the citizenship pledge requires all new citizens to swear that they will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Queen of Canada, her heirs, and her successors. In the context of listing the obligations of Canadian citizens, there's one important thing that strikes me that needs more emphasis. Every Canadian citizen should be obligated to learn the history of this land, the history of this nation. A history told not only from the perspective of European settlers, but from the perspective of the indigenous peoples of this land, and from the perspective of the marginalized immigrants, black, oriental, and LGBTQ persons. I know that compliance with that obligation would be difficult to measure, but it's essential if our citizens are going to work for justice. Remember the quote from Luke 12:48. We should expect much from our citizens, but only to the extent that they're knowledgeable and know the history of the injustices of this land. To paraphrase Luke, for those who have been made known their obligations, there shall be no excuse for shirking responsibility. The blessings bestowed upon Canadians in general include a good education system, a strong history of scientific and critical thinking, free and accessible media, and an excellent communication system. We are learning about the injustices done to our Indigenous peoples, but we're also aware of the injustice we bring to others on this planet through our use of fossil fuels and the resulting effects of climate change. We're aware of the pollution and the habitat loss from over-harvesting of fish and wildlife in Canada that is leading to a period of unprecedented extinctions of animals and plant species. If you put that slide up again. So now I feel more comfortable looking at that slide. As citizens of Canada, we have been given knowledge. We cannot claim ignorance. We know about the causes of climate change and the loss of biodiversity that threaten the interdependent web of all life. We know of our residential school systems. We know of the efforts of our government to integrate Indigenous peoples into Western schools of thought. We have also taken the riches of this land to do with as we please. See, we have the knowledge and we have the resources. And clearly, as citizens of one of Canada's most blessed countries on earth, we have an obligation to work towards healing the planet. From those to whom much has been given, much is required. May it be so. Amen. And if I may say so, all my relations.